Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game, second hour on this TD Thursday. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is 10 a.m. on a Thursday, which means it is your time to talk to TD. 615-737-1025. Any questions that you have for Teron Davenport, we will try and get to them over the next 30 minutes. This is Patrick from Franklin, TD. It is a sequel to a question that he asked before last season. He said, last year before the season started, I asked TD what gas station he thought the Titans were most like. I believe he said that they were a Circle K. What gas station do you think the Titans are most like right now?
Good question.
They're not quite a Wawa yet.
Nah, definitely not a Wawa. maybe MAPCO? I don't know.
I could see a MAPCO or like a Twice Daily.
Yeah, Twice Daily. There you go. Twice
yeah,
Daily.
I'm a big Quick Trip guy up in like the Midwest. I spent two summers up there in Minnesota. Quick Trip with a K, the KT, not the QT, is phenomenal. I'm also Wawa's great. Sheetz is great. There's some good ones. I don't know if the Titans are in that tier yet, but I think MAPCO Twice Daily.
Yeah, I think MAPCO Twice Daily. They're just right there with Circle K. Like it's all the three.
Yeah, they've upgraded slightly, but you know they got to prove to us that the gas prices are going down and their food is going to be hot and fresh for us when we walk in.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny the mailman has called in. Kenny, thanks for calling. What you got for us today?
Hello, good friends. TD, a minute ago you was making fun of Ron Darling.
No, not making fun. Ron Darling's my guy. He
was on MLB
Network. The screen, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just making sure that's
one of my favorite pitchers, man. And the reason why I was so surprised to see him on there because the last couple Mets broadcasts that I've watched, because it's normally he, Keith Hernandez, and Gary Cohen, but it was Daniel Murphy. I forget who was on last night. I couldn't decipher who it was, but Ron Darling wasn't on, and I really enjoy when he and Hernandez are there together, but I hadn't seen either one.
Me talking to Kenny.
I was talking with the lady handing me her letters. I'm back.
All right, you're good.
I gotta do my job.
Hey, Kenny, listen.
Multitasking.
Multitasking.
Yeah. TD, last week, a couple weeks ago, you've been the only person to ever mention Tom and Jerry on a sports radio show. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
It broke me up. So I'm going to ask you for your Tom and Jerry moment of the draft. What was the wildest? You're not going to believe that my favorite dog is coming for his treat. Hi, Beto. This is live. I'm not lying, am I, Mr. Jones?
You are not lying at all.
You got to love it. You got to love it. Kenny, where are you? Where are you?
Behind West End Junior High School.
Okay.
I have never sprayed a dog in my life. I carry treats, but the downside to that, it looks like a dog parade some days. They're just following me down the street. I love what I do. Well, anyway.
So the Tom and Jerry moment of the draft. To me, it had to be Carnell Tate. Because
really, yeah.
Yeah, because like I had Jeremiah Love, Sonny Styles, and Arvell Reese. I had all my entries pre-written.
Didn't have that one ready?
Didn't have Tate ready. So it reminded me, and I was telling the guys in the studio on the other side of the glass about this the other day. It reminded me of the mouse, Tom and Jerry's cousin, who said, ride him out of me, to out of cram bone. I said, ride him out of me, to out of cram bone. Then the string popped. That's what happened to me, man. The string popping. When they took Carnell Tate, that was the string popping. And then I had to go grab a whisker and rewire my guitar like Jerry, like Tom. Jerry's cousin grabbed Tom's whisker and rewired the guitar. That was
it. This might be my favorite 5 minutes ever on radio. I didn't expect that answer, and I didn't expect my dog to come up wanting tricks from me. God bless y'all.
Thank you for the call, Kenny. Man, if there was any doubt that Kenny was telling the truth about being a mailman, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
We got him in his element right there.
He said, no spray, give me the treats. Man, I had a spray.
TD Justin from Greenbrier asks, you may have already expressed this, but what was your favorite pick that the Titans made in the draft?
Oh, Anthony Hill.
I think that's easily the universal one.
Yeah, easily Anthony Hill. I like the Nick Singleton one.
By the way, Anthony Hill just followed the 102.5 The Game Twitter.
Really?
There you go.
Welcome, Anthony Hill Jr.
Welcome. Go ahead and
call in with your question for TD.
Yeah, come on. Come on. But no, I think that is my favorite pick. He's the guy we talked about as an option, you know, if they didn't go Sonny Styles. You look at his play, it gives you, like, flashes of Bobby Wagner. And we know what Bobby Wagner did in this defense. So, yeah, I mean, just the enthusiasm he has that he plays with, he's the only guy, he's going to rock you. You're going to think – now, look, I'm not saying people are going to be scared to come across the middle, but you're going to think about it. Like, you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, hey, look, man. Like, in film, you look to your quarterback, hey, look, man, like, not for anything, but zero be rocking, guys. Like, we got to make sure. And
no,
I said this
no
on
hospital
talking,
balls, please.
Yeah, I said it on Talking with TV. I was like, you got to make sure, like, it's top of the numbers, a face mask on those crossing routes, man. Like, keep me healthy, you know? You have to have that conversation. Because of a guy like that. So I think that's good.
With Anthony Hill, you've seen his ability as a pass rusher. And the team has said that they're going to use him off the ball, even though he did have success coming off the edge at Texas. Coverage has been the one question that I've seen about him. How do you feel about him as a coverage linebacker, as the Mike in this defense?
No, I think he's comfortable in zone. I think he's going to be okay there. He's not like the same as Sonny Styles in that, like, you won't see him run step for step with receivers down the scene.
Not running a 4.46.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's 4.5.
Right. He's not too much.
Got speed, but I don't think the man skills are as much as like Fred Warner or those types, but I think he can still play. He definitely works in that scheme.
I'm excited to see him, and I think having Anthony Hill put Cedric Gray in a role that maybe he is a little bit more comfortable with, of basically Cedric Gray is just going to go clean up behind that the great run-stuffing defensive line. Mm. Like, hey, just go get your tackles, Cedric Gray, behind that group of four. You answered this on the YouTube chat, but just to get it over the air here, Top Tier asks, what's your outlook on Nick Singleton? Do you think he can be the guy after this season?
Yeah, I think he can, because when you look at it, you don't have – I mean, Spears and Pollard aren't under contract after this year. So, I mean, I would bring Spears back. But, I think he can be the guy, because to me, he's, you know, there's a lot more that could be unlocked with his pass-catching ability. That's something we talked about on the Zoom with him. I asked him about that, and Dave Ziegler had mentioned that on Tuesday. But then you also look at the home run ability. The guy scores touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think he is and I forgot, I didn't realize he was 220 pounds.
Yeah, it's a big guy.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's a big he's what you want out of a running back looking at him, you know what I mean? And then on top of that, the speed, he did hit 23 miles an hour, you know, at one point. So I think he's a complete player that can do everything that you want him to do. Now, is he Jeremiah Love? Of course not.
Yeah.
But, you know, can you have a Tajay Spears, Khalil Mullen, Nick Singleton trio? Yeah, absolutely.
So you think you'd bring Spears back?
I bring Spears back.
He just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
And the contract will be, you know, commensurate with that.
Well, I look at it, and I mentioned this the other day, that he was a Vrabel Carthon pick. Mm. Do you think that Sala and Borgonzi maybe push him to the outside with, you know, Pollard's the more reliable guy as your lead back this year? You just drafted Singleton. And then Michael Carter played for Sala a few years ago with the Jets.
Yeah,
like, does Spears maybe get pushed out because he's not one of this regime's guys?
It's possible, but, I mean, if Spears plays well.
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess we don't know, because last year he sprained his ankle on the first play of the preseason in Tampa. So yeah. I guess he's good. But I do think Spears is going to have to show out in camp. Because his spot on the roster is no longer guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. You definitely have to make sure that you show and prove, because nothing is guaranteed for him, especially.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are taking your questions for Teron Davenport. Talk to TD. Anything you've got, we will get to it coming up next. Got a few good ones on the text line. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Celebrate Cinco de Mayo early with 102.5 The Game at Social Cantina in Germantown this Saturday. There will be music from 3 to 6, drink specials, swag giveaways, raffles, and patio party vibes all day long. Grab your crew and celebrate Cinco de Mayo the right way at Social Cantina. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. It is a TD Thursday, and we're giving you the chance to ask Teron Davenport anything you want. Text or call 615-737-1025, or you can drop it in the YouTube chat. We are monitoring that as well. To the text line here, 4987 asks, we've had awful luck with first-round wide receivers. TD, why do you think that is? Is it because of poor scouting, poor coaching? And how do you think Carnell Tate can break that trend?
I mean, I think it's a variety of things. Let's look at the first-round receivers. There's only two, right? Carnell Tate makes the third. But,
yeah.
Okay, so go to Treylon Burks. We know it was mostly injuries. That's mostly what derailed him. Obviously,
yeah.
Coming in, you know, you had the issue about the asthma and him not being in shape. And
just ridiculously high expectations, because you basically traded A.J. Brown one for one for him.
Yeah, so that was a tough situation there. Corey Davis, I think Corey Davis was a solid player. But
injuries, too.
Injuries.
The hamstrings were always an issue.
And then also, I mean, like, he was drafted fifth overall. He didn't live up to that. But, I mean, if this was a guy that was drafted, like, bottom of the first round, the second round, you say, hey, that was a solid career, you know. So, those are the two. I mean, think about Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright.
Know, he had a good 2 years or so, right? He had a 1,000-yard season.
Somebody tweeted this last week after the Carnell Tate pick. Top five Titans wide receivers in the Titans era, not including the Oilers. Kendall Wright is fifth in yardage.
Mm.
I think that's more indicative of how bad the Titans have been at finding good receivers than actually how good Kendall Wright was.
And Kenny Britt, he was a first rounder, right?
Yeah, he was. Kenny Britt out of Rutgers.
Had the broken leg, I think it was.
Yeah, everybody remembers the one moment on the long touchdown drive to beat the Cardinals where he caught the ball in the back of the end zone. But outside of that, I mean, he was meh. But, the texture's right. With those four, is that it, really? Four wide receivers in the first round over the past 15 years?
Let me see. Titans first round.
It sounds right. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head. Like, they've had plenty of second round picks. Justin Hunter, Doriel Green Beckham, A.J. Brown. You go into the third, Taywan Taylor.
Yeah, Taywan Taylor.
But I can't think of any other first-rounders. So, with Carnell Tate, I've said this about quarterbacks and running backs with this franchise. You can't really look at the past as an indicator of the future when it's a different regime.
Right?
Like, yes, if it was still Jeff Fisher or, you know, like if it was Rustin Webster and Mike Munchak who were there.
We forgot Kevin Dyson.
Oh, I wasn't going back that far.
Okay.
At least. Like, I was thinking more like
injuries.
Yeah, like over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a different coaching staff. It's a different front office. So I don't think you can diagnose why the Titans have been bad at picking first-round wide receivers. They just have been. And you hope that this staff picked the right one and can develop Carnell Tate into an actual star out of a first-round wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, the thing with Tate, though, he's so polished. He is, he's one of the more polished, refined receivers I've seen in the last couple years. I think when you look at – now, is there like a trait where you're just like, oh, shoot, that's – no, but, I mean, he has good size. He could probably, you know, 6'3", 195. You'd probably want him – you know, a little more in the 205
yeah,
range.
Yeah, put a little muscle on there.
You know, on the ball. But I think everything that he – I don't see any reason why he would flop.
Yeah, I don't see a ton of weaknesses in his game. But you're right. There isn't just one overwhelming strength where you're like, that's why he's a top five pick. Mm. He does everything really well, but maybe nothing to an elite level. He doesn't drop the ball very much, which is something the Titans have been missing over the last couple of years, is guys who are just reliable when you throw them the ball. Belvis from Houston asks, TD, do you think that Pat Coogan can have a Ben Jones effect on this O-line at center, and do you think Jackson Slater will be the right guard?
Ben Jones effect is a good way put it.
I mean, Ben Jones, really, really good player for this franchise. Really good.
Solidified the team.
That might be a little bit high of a bar for a sixth round pick, but like I really did like the Pat Coogan pick.
Ben Jones, I think, was a sixth round pick at one point. Or a fifth round. I remember
he
came in with Brandon Brooks, and I remember he started at left guard. No. Right guard. He started at guard and then moved to center once they got Brandon Brooks coming, because he came from Georgia. Brandon Brooks came from Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ben Jones is a little lofty. That's a little lofty of a comparison. I say let this guy beat out Schlotman first, and then we could
right.
look at those kind of things. But I mean, he very clearly is a leader. And you go back, you saw the speech pregame he gave at Notre Dame. But he's a guy that also the communication is there.
Yeah.
So he's someone that will help Cam, you know, and call the protections and those things. Very well tenured player. So. Culture changer too. You saw what he did. You know, going part of that group at Indiana to turn things around. So, I'm not going to go as far as say Ben Jones, but I'll say he's going to be an impact player at some point.
Yeah, I think you really like the intelligence of Pat Coogan, the toughness, the leadership ability, but you also have to have the physical traits too. And we'll see how that all pans out when he gets out there on the field. But I do like Pat Coogan. Ben Jones. I put Ben Jones on such a pedestal because of the way the 2022 season ended. And there's a lot of things that everybody looks at for the reasons for that 7-game losing streak. And, you know, John Robinson got fired. There's been other things that have been floating around about a Spotify playlist this week. But I think Ben Jones getting hurt is the largest reason that the Titans offense floundered down the stretch. Tannehill got hurt too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you saw the offensive line that was really strong during that 6 or 7 game winning streak early on that year just kind of fell apart when Ben Jones got hurt.
Yeah. And Ben Jones was a 4th round pick. I was mistaken. But, yeah, it did just kind of like crumble.
Yeah, right.
That's the best way to
put it. It was like he was the linchpin holding it all together. And when you pulled him out of there, everything just collapsed.
All over.
Chris in Nashville asked, TD, what is the most memorable sporting event that you've ever attended and why?
Very good question. It's hard to beat that Super Bowl, the 2017.
Yeah, the Eagle, the Nick Foles one.
Yeah, but if you go non-work, I remember, so my receiver coach in college, one of them, he was my second one, Frankie Sumter. Rest in peace, Coach Sump. he played for the Redskins. And he took us to Cowboys-Eagles. And I remember it was like about five of us. And I remember going in and he took us down to the sideline. And I'll never forget. There's two things I'll never forget. Deion Sanders back there catching the punt. And the way before the punt, he's just like dancing and just looking around. And I'm like, how the heck can somebody be so relaxed before something so big? But that's how he was. But the other thing I remember is Brian Dawkins hit somebody. I don't remember who it was, but it was right in front of us. And he got up and screamed. And like that scream combined with the crowd, it was an energy that I never felt. That's the most memorable sporting event that I've seen, because just being there right on top of the action, feeling all that, that had to have been it.
It is funny the moments that like stick with you. For me, honestly, one of the most memorable, I'd have to think back to all of the ones that I've seen. One of the most memorable sporting events I've ever been to was the Bills-Titans Monday Night Football game in 2021. Mm. That was just, let alone that the Titans won that game, just the moments in that game. Derrick Henry had the long run that got the Titans back into it early. Julio Jones had the toe-tap catch off the defender's helmet on the sideline.
That's right.
Josh Allen getting stuffed to end the game by Jeffrey Simmons. Like, that was such a fun game. That one's up there for me. And then from when I was a kid, Virginia Tech played Nebraska at Lane Stadium, and Tyrod Taylor dodged Ndamukong Suh and threw a touchdown with like 15 seconds left to win the game. That one up there for me as well. There are some more questions here, so we will extend talk to TD. I've got some good ones here. We will do one more segment of this. If you have any last-minute questions for Teron Davenport, get them in now, 615-737-1025. Today, Vanderbilt Baseball takes on Alabama down in Tuscaloosa. First pitch is at 6 p.m., and you can catch all of the action right here on 102.5 The Game, which with coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, and Parker Kelly with you on this TD Thursday. We have extended talk to TD because we've got some good interaction on our phone and text lines. Let's go to the phones. Adam in Portland is called in. Adam, thanks for calling. What you got for us this morning?
Bringing you back to Boys to Men. What
Let's
is that?
Go slow.
That's your walk-up song, Adam.
We don't have...
a lot of high school memories, man. I do have one for you.
Hey, you slow dancing right now, Adam? You slow dancing?
Well, I'm just jamming, man. Yeah, like I got rejected a lot to that song too, though. So it's playing good. So I've got one for you. So my favorite player of all time is Sean Taylor, and I think he's the hardest hitting safety because he was basically a linebacker back there, right? And I wonder if that kind of person is now extinct. Like, that position, a hard-hitting safety, will they ever be appreciated again? Because you basically, you can get flagged for form tackling somebody these days. So I don't know that Sean Taylor would even fit in the NFL anymore. So I'm wondering if a player like that still can.
That's a great point. I think that body-rocking safety is just like, Here goes a name for you. Deshaun Golson.
Yeah.
That joker used to kill people, but he used to get so many fines. And it's just messed up how they've taken that intimidation part of the game away. And I get it, you know, the issues with concussions and stuff like that, but this is a violent game. As a safety, you know, or – period. As a defender, you're taught, hey, I need to separate the pass catcher from the football. And that's what you try to do, but you can't do it. You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
Those Sean Taylors, the Ronnie Lotts, the Deshaun Golsons, the Chuck Cecils, the Steve Atwaters, you know, those guys are not allowed to exist anymore, and it's a shame.
Cam Chancellor. Cam Bam. He put the boom in the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, I kind of omitted him on purpose, you know, because I used to love those 49ers teams that he always intimidated.
When
he hit Vernon Davis,
Cam Chancellor is one of my all-time favorite players, mostly because he's a Hokie. But I have a jersey signed by him and Tyrod Taylor and Tim Settle. I think I've told you that story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tim Settle. Yeah.
Scribbling out his name on there and then writing it again because he got it wrong the first time. let's get back to the text line here. Got a couple of fun ones on the text line. Richie from White House asked, TD, if you had an opportunity to choose one player or coach for the Titans to cruise around in the Corvette and jam to some music with, who would you choose?
That's a good question. One player. It would have to be Tajay, man.
Tajay, really?
Yeah, it would have to be Tajay. He might be my favorite guy in that locker room because Tajay always has good energy. Always. You know, always. And he's – it would have been Arden Key, but Arden's gone. But
yeah, Arden Key seems like a fun guy to just like cruise around
and
with.
And we have similar music tastes. And he loves the vet. He wanted to trade he wanted to let me hold the Rolls Royce and he take the vet. And I said, I am not going to have a $200,000 or $300,000 vehicle in my possession. That just ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know. But I would say that's a good question. I would probably say Tajay just because I would say Tajay.
I like that. I'm trying to think of anybody else who would stand out.
Jeff, he's not fitting in the vet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. That has to be part of it too. Of like, who's gonna have the leg room?
You know, Tajay, Femi too. That is close. But I'll go Tajay.
Philip asks, TD, the Titans still have a lot of money they can spend. Are there any free agents you would eye to bring in and fill out the roster? I know Zeitler's a guy we talk about a lot, but anybody else out there that you think could make sense?
I mean, why not Njoku?
Do you think that would fit for the Titans, given the room you already have?
You could run some crazy 12 personnel with he and Gunnar Helm.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I think he's better than everybody on the roster.
Oh, I agree. But I guess that would mean Gunnar Helm would be relegated to being your tight end too, which maybe they view that as his role if they go out and sign David Njoku.
Yeah. I mean, that one came to mind, but think of any others. I can't really think of any others.
Something we've talked about this week is Titans need a swing tackle. Like, would you think that a veteran addition at tackle behind Dan Moore and J.C. Latham would make some sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Because right now it's Brandon Crenshaw Dixon and Austin Deculus. Those are your two guys behind those two. And then Emil Wagner, who we got a text about him too, the undrafted free agent out of Notre Dame coming in.
Yeah. He's a right tackle, wasn't he?
I think so, but he only gave up one sack this year for the Irish.
Yeah, so, I mean, he could end up being – I know the previous staff, they liked Crenshaw Dixon as a developmental guy, but, look, you can never have too many tackle options. So, yeah, if there's a swing tackle, that would be really good. Not sure what would be left because typically – good offensive linemen don't become free agents, period, and let alone stay on the market
right
this late. So I don't know that there's an addition you could make that would be too.
There are two that I've brought up that I think they're holding out for starting opportunities, but there could just become a point where they're like, hey, I got to get paid this season. Like, I got to play somewhere. Taylor Decker is still out there, and Jack Conklin, both still out on the market.
I didn't realize Conklin was out there.
Yeah.
Jonah Williams.
Cam Robinson's out there, which I wouldn't feel good about Cam Robinson being my full-time starter, but, I mean, it's a guy with experience that I'd feel better about than the guys you have currently.
Yeah. Lucas Niang, I remember him coming out. Yeah.
That's the one position, I mean, the offensive line in general is the one spot that gives me some serious concern for this season because you're one Latham or Moore injury away from disaster.
That's the thing. It's and I mean, look, across the league, there really isn't depth at O-line. You know what I mean? If you have two good tackles and a swing tackle that's solid, like, you're winning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the issue is swing tackle is probably not a great position for anybody across the league, right? Like, there's not enough good tackles for every team to have three.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was a little surprised again. Like we said, the Titans didn't take cornerback in the draft. I was a little surprised we didn't see them go tackle later in the draft either, too, just to add a little bit more talent, a little bit more depth to that room.
Yeah, I mean, look, Carmona, he played tackle. He's more of a guard, but, you know, he's played tackle before. But I think he's going to settle in as one of the guard depth options competing for that right guard spot. But you're right. You know, when you look at the tackle position, as you mentioned, Deculus and Crenshaw Dixon, you know, those are pretty much your options as far as what they have. That's the thing. The previous staff, we did see them, you know, use tackle eligible a lot. We'll see what this group, like how they do in that situation. But if you remember, you know, last year they used it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ali Udo, is he with the Saints now? Cardinals?
I don't know where he is. But he was, yeah.
Because, like, not that Ali Udo, he's with the Cardinals now. So not that he was the greatest swing tackle in the world, but I definitely would have felt better with him being back than some of the options that they have. So offensive line, and Dave Ziegler said this earlier this week, that's one of the spots that they believe they're going to add more competition to throughout the offseason. So we'll just have to see what moves they make. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Big thanks to everybody who interacted with Talk to TD. Great questions today. And we'll continue to take them if you have any more for TD before the end of the show. But did want to get TD's thoughts on Chad Brinker as he stepped down on Tuesday night and ends the 3-year era of the Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, Brinker regime, and the Titans move on with this duo of Borgonzi and Sala. We'll get into it coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Again, appreciate everybody who interacted during Talk to TD. If you have any more questions, we will try and get to them throughout the show. But I did want to get TD's thoughts on Chad Brinker. He has stepped down as the Titans president of football operations, a role that he got 2 years ago, was hired by Rand Carthon as the assistant GM, then spent 2 years, 2.5 years as the president of football operations, and now has stepped down to get back into personnel. This isn't exactly shocking. When Amy Adams-Strunk released the statement saying that it's no longer going to be Mike Borgonzi reporting to Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi is going to be the man in charge of all of the roster decisions, it felt like the writing was on the wall a little bit for Chad Brinker.
Yeah, it did seem like things were coming to a head. And apparently, like from what I understand, like it was pretty bad for him as far as like, He was walking around. Like you could tell he was bothered.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying what I saw day to day. I'm saying what I was told that people have seen day to day. A lot of just like down in the dumps, you know, and it was almost like he was outside looking in, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because I know, and I actually said it on Twitter. I when he has said that, you know, Borgonzi was going to have control of the roster and be in charge of building the roster. I was like, that's good leadership on Chad Brinker's part, because I felt like Chad, what he was doing was empowering and giving the ownership to Borgonzi, empowering him to do what he was hired to do. A general manager is supposed to build your roster. You know what I mean? Like, you don't hire a mechanic to show you how to, you know, cook a meal. You hire a mechanic to fix your car, and he fixes your car. You let him do what he does. And I felt that's what Chad Brinker was doing. I just wonder if he understood how much of a step back that was going to be, because I know he still wanted to, because at the heart, he loves scouting.
Yeah.
you know, obviously you have the analytical part and you have the operations part that he brings to the table, extensive degrees and schooling and all of that. He loves scouting, right? And so having that, I don't want to say taken away from him, but having that minimized.
Yeah, put on the back burner for him while he has to deal with all the other responsibilities.
I don't think he realized how much of a change and step back that was going to be, how much that was going to bother him as it did. And, I mean, look, like let's face the facts. Borgonzi has come in and you know, he's made a good mark. Obviously, record-wise, it wasn't good last year, but you look at the authority that he brings, right? You know, hey, look, this and this aren't eye-to-eye. We got to trade this guy away.
Yeah.
I know he was just drafted, and I know coming in he was a starter, but we got to trade this guy away.
Yeah.
Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Oh, you know what? Okay, we got a new scheme in here. I know he was, you know, a high draft pick, but it's not matching. We got a chance to get somebody that I know my coach likes. We got to trade Tavondre Sweat away. So I think it's really just one of those things where it came down to not being able to do what he wants to do anymore in Chad Brinker, and then also just being at a point where, unfortunately, and I don't think Borgonzi came in and did, you know, I'm not saying Borgonzi to me isn't a snake. Borgonzi to me isn't someone that would try to undermine anybody.
Yeah.
Do I know him personally to really, really say that? No. But I know him enough to not play poker with him. I tell you that much. I told him that too. After his pressure, I said, man, I would never play poker with you, man. you know, but I think he's someone that's just focused on getting the job done. And in the end, Chad's step back, I think, ended up being a huge detriment to him. And now he's in this situation. But he's going to resurface.
Yeah.
He's going to resurface.
He's going to end up somewhere. And
I think he's going to end up a little bit further down south.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say maybe back to Green Bay with John Eric Sullivan leaving. Maybe he goes back up there. I don't know. But
Where did John Eric Sullivan go?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe that's the connection that we need to be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that I think Mike Borgonzi, and you said it, like the record last year wasn't great, but you're not going to turn a bad team into a good team in one offseason.
Right.
But I think the choices that he's made has shown promise. They obviously have to pan out. But I think the one thing, and words aren't everything, but when you listen to Mike Borgonzi, you get the feeling that this is a guy who has a plan and he knows how to execute it and he has a long-term vision. With Chad Brinker, again, press conferences don't make good general managers, but it always just felt like Chad Brinker didn't have a great way to eloquently put forth his vision for this team. When he was asked about it, he was never able to tell you, this is what we want, this is how we're going to execute it, and this is why it's going to work. Mm-hmm. With Mike Borgonzi, every time I hear him speak, I at least feel like, all right, that's a guy who knows what he's doing, he's in control, and I can trust that he at least is going, he's going to make logical decisions. Mm-hmm. With Chad Brinker, I just always felt like there was a little bit of uncertainty every time he spoke, and it didn't exactly bring a whole lot of confidence in him.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I definitely could see that. So, hey, I mean, it's very – if you just go back to December of 22 or even to, what, November of 22, like, and look at this, man. Like, John Robinson, they're in first place. Obviously, AJ and the Eagles gave him a stern butt-whooping. Okay, John Robinson's fired. Rand Carthon is hired. Mike Vrabel is fired. Brian Callahan is hired. Rand is fired. Borgonzi's hired.
Callahan's fired. Brinker's
Sala's hired.
Yeah, right. Sala's hired.
And then in the mix of that, you got Brinker being hired by Rand and then Brinker stepping down. Like, that's a lot.
Oh, it's in the last 3.5 years, you've had 4 personnel guys, if you want to put Brinker in there, and now 3 head coaches. I mean, that's a lot. It's crazy. And I think you can finally kind of turn the page, hopefully. And you don't know. If this is a disaster this year and Cam Ward bottoms out and none of the draft picks look good, then maybe we're in for another year of turmoil.
Yeah.
But I think you can look at this. The Robinson and Vrabel era was one chapter. And I know Vrabel overlapped with Ran, but it felt like the Ran, Brinker, Callahan chapter is now, you've turned the page from that, and you're hoping that this duo of Borgonzi and Sala are the right two at the wheel to lead this team forward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously they have to prove that first with what they're able to do, building the roster and executing on Sundays.
Somebody has to stabilize this ship. Because right now, like,
yeah,
it could go any direction.
They're just, you've got to get to Black Monday this year and not have any doubt that Borgonzi and Sala are sticking around for another season, right? Yeah. Like, you've got to get this team to a point where you are not changing leadership year in and year out. Mm. This duo, Amy has committed to them. Chad Brinker has now stepped away. It is Borgo and Sala. Can they get this thing turned around?
Yeah. Well, and now the other thing I wonder, okay, does Bryce Wasserman, like, where does he come in to play here? And to me, I would keep him, you know, where he is with an understanding of there's an opportunity for growth. But to me, I think having it as traditional as possible, ownership, general manager, you got Berg Nyhill, you know, working the business side of things. And ownership, general manager, head coach, coordinators, position coaches, period.
Do you think they fill that position? Or is it because they did tell us when Brinker and Carthon and then Brinker and Borgonzi, that job's too big for one person.
Yeah.
Did they mean it? I think we're going to find out in the next couple of months if they hire him. If not, it's just a way for them to justify having two guys doing what is usually one job.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like Bryce, he holds a high, you know, operations role. I think it was –
I think he's director of football ops
director
or something like
that? Yeah,
like not president, but director. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, look, for a guy his age, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm
– Chief of Staff Football Operations.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, Chief of Staff. I would think that maybe he starts to handle some of those roles, but maybe he doesn't actually get the title change to president of football operations, because there are some things that fall under the GM's purview that aren't roster based. And I do think you want to have Mike Borgonzi focused on his most important role, which is picking the right players. Mm-hmm. So I do think some of those responsibilities will have to fall on somebody else. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on that and much more. We see you waiting. We will get to you coming up next. Going to keep talking Titans. It is a TD Thursday. One more hour here on 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up. 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.